smiled. At 20, I would rather have been ploughing Mildreth than reaping the reward of my good fortune, and looking back, I have few regrets. Fate is inexorable, and Mildreth, though I had not wanted to marry her, and though I came to detest her, was a lovely field to plough. So, in that late spring of the year 877, I spent the Saturday riding to Credianton. I took 20 men with me, and I promised Leofric that we would be at Exonceaster by midday on Sunday, and I would make certain Alfred knew we had saved his kingdom.
Otto the Younger will be there by now, Leofric warned me.
Leofric was almost twice my age, a warrior hardened by years of fighting the Danes.
Did you hear me?
He asked when I said nothing.
Otto the Younger will be there, and he's a piece of goose shit who'll take all the credit.
The truth cannot be hidden, I said loftily. Leofric mocked that. He was a squat brute of a man who should have been the commander of Alfred's fleet, but he was not well born, and Alfred had reluctantly given me charge of the 12 ships because I was an ealdorman, a noble.
There are times, Leofric grumbled, when you were an earsling.
An earsling was something that had dropped out of a creature's backside and was one of Leofric's favorite insults. We were friends. We'll see Alfred tomorrow, I said.
And Otto the Younger, Leofric said patiently, has seen him today.
Otto the Younger was the son of Otto the Elder, who had given my wife shelter, and the son did not like me because he wanted to plough Mildreth. He was also, as Leofric said, a piece of goose shit, slippery and slick.
We shall see Alfred tomorrow,
I said again, and next morning we all rode to Exonceaster, my men escorting Mildreth, our son and his nurse, and we found Alfred where his green and white dragon banner flew above his tents. Other banners snapped in the damp wind, a colourful array of beasts, crosses, saints and weapons, announcing that the great men of Wessex were with their king. One of those banners showed a black stag, which confirmed that Otto the Younger was here in South Defnesgear. Outside the camp, between its southern margin and the city walls, was a great pavilion made of sailcloth, and that told me that Alfred, instead of fighting Guthrum, was talking to him. They were negotiating a truce, though not on that day, for it was a Sunday, and Alfred was on his knees in a makeshift church made from another sailcloth, and all his nobles and thanes were arrayed behind him, and some of those men turned as they heard our horses' hooves. Otto the Younger was one, and I saw the apprehension show on his narrow face. He was kneeling very close to Alfred, suggesting that he was high in the king's favour. A priest, one of the many who always accompanied Alfred, hurried towards me. He had red hair, a squint, a palsied left hand, and an expression of astonished joy on his ugly face.
Uhtred, he called. We thought you were dead.
Me? I grinned. Dead?
You were a hostage.
I'd been one of the dozen English hostages in Wareham, but while the others had been murdered by Guthrum, I had been spared because of Earl Ragnar, who was a Danish war chief and as close to me as a brother.
I didn't die, father, I said to the priest, whose name was Beoka, and I'm surprised you did not know that.
How could I know it?
Because I was at Kinewit, father, and Otto the Younger could have told you.
I was staring at Otto as I spoke, and Beoka caught the grimness in my voice.
You were at Kinewit? He asked nervously.
Otto the Younger didn't tell you.
He said nothing.
Nothing!
I kicked my horse forward, forcing it between the kneeling men until the press of worshippers made it impossible to advance further, and then I stared at Odda as I spoke to Beoka.
He didn't describe Uba's death, I asked. He says Uba died in the Shield War, Beoka said, his voice a hiss so that he did not disturb the liturgy, and that many men contributed to his death.
Is that all he told you?
He says he faced Uba himself, Beoka said.
So who do men think killed Uba Lothbrokson? I asked.
We can talk of these things later, Beoka said. But for now, Uhtred, join us in prayer.
He used my name rather than calling me Lord because he had known me since I was a child. Beoka, like me, was a Northumbrian, and he had been my father's priest, but when the Danes took over our country, he had come to Wessex to join those Saxons who still resisted the invaders.
This is a time for prayer, he insisted, not for quarrels.
But I was in a mood for quarrels.